This body, you take care of it. You have a spirit, you allow it to lead you. And that's how it's supposed to be. Have a balance. Tell your neighbor, have a balance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So day three, who have day four? Tonight's our last evening service. So take note. Tomorrow is 10 a.m. and we want him to rest for Sunday. So tomorrow is the only 2-hour service. So 10 to 12, we are gone. 10 to 12 is just a short service. Hallelujah. But Sunday, as the Lord leads him, if he wants to close us, even the evening will close. Hallelujah. But that's how it's going to be. So tonight's like last evening service. Now with a standing ovation unto the Lord. And a clap and a shout offering to the God behind the man. I welcome to this platform Apostle Michael Oropo, if I'm mentioning it right. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you expectant tonight? Is your spirit man ready to receive? Again, it's my honor to be here. I want to specially appreciate God's servant for raising this tall platform for the Lord and for the honor he's given me and the privilege to be here to share with God's people. Can we celebrate Prophet and his wife, Prophet George Dokosi? Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here, sir. I've really been blessed, really been blessed talking with him and also talking with Mama. It's been a great blessing. You know, from the first night I came in, we're just sharing. And typical of a prophet, the spirit realm opened and he began to talk to me about my calling, about the things God is doing and the things God will yet do with so much precision, so much accuracy and so much authority. So I'm the first partaker of the blessings of the conference. As I proceed, I will say a few things about the prophetic. And you know, the prophet brings God to people, but the priest takes people to God. So when you meet a prophet, it makes the work easy. It makes the work easy. And I've really been blessed. Thank you so much, sir. I truly honor you. If you are ready tonight, please lift your hands toward heaven and talk to the Lord from the depth of your heart.
Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. Zion's King, Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your own. You reign, you reign, you reign.
You ancient Zion's King,
Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign, you reign, you reign.
Father, we thank you for tonight. We ask that you open our understanding to look upon sacred things and to apprehend them. We ask that you strengthen our spirit man, invigorate us, Lord, and grant us capacity to walk in the fullness of our eternal ordinations. Take all the praise, take all the glory, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. I have just 1 hour for tonight, so I want to share some few things with us that we would take with practice as we develop ourselves, walking and giving expression to the life of God on this side of the divide. Yes, play for me on the keyboard. You know, last night we began to look at the different realms of prayer as we attempt to explore the bodies in the heart of God through the gateway of prayer. There are many ways of accessing the heart of the Father, but this is a prayer conference, and so we are looking at using specifically the channel of prayer to access the heart of the Father and to domesticate his burdens, even as we walk with it in advancing the dominion of the kingdom. And so we said there are 4 realms in prayer. The first realm of prayer is the ability to develop stamina in God's presence. Stamina in God's presence is not a function of willpower. Stamina in God's presence is a function of desire and hunger. You know, if you were to eat daily by reason of discipline, you will discover that feeding would become a burden. The reason you are able to eat every day, and for our fathers who are over 50 years here, they know they've eaten for 50 years. No discipline can be sustained for 50 years. It has to take an economy that is deeper than discipline, something that is ingrained in your DNA to sustain effortlessly a lifestyle for 50 to 70 years. And that economy we come to understand in the frequency of life to be the economy of hunger and desire. So every day of your life, by reason of hunger, a time comes in the day that that alarm goes on and you cannot but eat something. So we said stamina in God's presence is not an act of discipline. You can begin with discipline, but as you progress in your journey with God, you will discover there will be an activation on your inside. Your spirit man will be quickened and there will be hunger for God's presence. You will not be doing it just because you want to do it, but there will be a provocation in your spirit that draws you to the presence of God. When that protocol is activated, you will discover that staying in God's presence will no longer be something you put so much effort to achieve. It will be something you do the way you breathe every day. It means life has taken a hold on you as touching the pathways of intimacy. So we said the first protocol of prayer is the protocol of stamina. There are many people that have built so much stamina with God that they can stand in God's presence from morning till night. There are those who can be there for many days. These are the friends of God. These are the people that have access to the heart of the Father. And I gave us a scripture yesterday in Genesis chapter 8 from verse 20. How that the world was destroyed and only one man found favor with God. I don't know the population of the world at the time, but it troubles my heart that a whole universe will be destroyed and only one man found favor with God. So when I contemplate it in our world today, I begin to wonder how many men have favor with God. And when we study the life of Noah, we discover there was something Noah was given to doing, which was the way of altars. Because the moment he came out of the boat, the first thing he did was to raise an altar unto the Lord. And the Bible told us that Noah picked what was in the heart of God, and he began to say it as though God was speaking audibly. He had access to the things in the heart of the Father. And all of that is a product of stamina in God's presence. There are many believers today whom everything you say about God is breaking news to them. Everything is rhema to them. Everything is deep to them. The reason is because they have no access to the things that flow from the realm of the Father. And I said the way to begin to gain access is to consciously build stamina in God's presence. I said the second realm of prayer is the realm of ascension. When a man begins to tarry in God's presence, something happens to him. He begins to receive access to things and to dimensions that are not captured within his earthly context. There are many things that happen on earth. There are many information flying everywhere. As we are talking now, television signals are passing through this room. Radio signals are passing through this room. The reason you can't access it is because your ear is not tuned to that frequency. But when you get gadgets that can trap that frequency, you will discover you will capture images that are not within this perimeter. Something happening far away in a studio somewhere, very distant from you. It can even be in another nation. But because you've tapped into that frequency, you are able to bring those graphics and those pictures to this very auditorium. Why? Because you have accessed that signal. That is what prayer does for us. When we begin to pray, a time comes when we ascend from the context of the earthly and we begin to find ourselves connecting to signals from the heavenlies. When a man begins to ascend, I tell you that the crisis of life becomes small. When you're on earth, you can deal with mountains. But when you ascend, you don't see mountains. And that's why I told you, as beautiful as it is to deal with mountains, there is a realm where we don't know mountains. So I gave us an illustration yesterday, how that Moses parted the Red Sea for Israel to cross. How that Elijah parted the Jordan for himself and his servant to cross. But I said when Jesus wanted to walk over the Jordan, he didn't need to part it. He walked upon the water. Because it's a function of realms. The experience you have is a function of where you are operating from. There is a realm where you operate from that the river can stop you. There is a realm you operate from that you can command the river to open because you know the code that governs that river. And there is a realm where you function from where you can literally walk on the water as if it doesn't exist. Nothing is impossible. It's just a function of height in the spirit. So when we begin to pray, one of the many things prayer does for us is that it causes us to begin to gain ascendancy. And authority in this kingdom is a function of height. That's why, legally speaking, we are seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. Because it is in height that we rule in this realm. And I said number three, when you begin to engage prayer so intentionally, what happens to you is that your spirit man becomes sealed. It is in the place of stillness that you can begin to receive spiritual things. It said, be still and you will know the salvation of God. Exodus 14:13. You can hear about God. God can be preached to you. You can read about God in a book. But if your spirit man is not still, you will never know him. And the way you know whether you know God or not, it's not in your ability to recite him. It's not in your ability to preach him. It's rather in your ability to bring him on the scene. If you cannot bring God on the scene, everything you know is story. When crises confront you, the proof that you know God is that you can bring God on the scene and change situations. When a man does not have the capacity to bring God on the scene, even if he's a preacher, he doesn't know God. He only knows about God. It's one thing to know about God, and it's another thing to know God. Knowing God is experience. It's not cognitive knowledge. It's experience. I can know pastor's wife because I know about her profession. There is no way I can know her like her husband. Neither is there any way her husband can know my wife like I know her. There are different kinds of knowledge. But you see, English language is limited. When we talk about the knowledge of God, we are talking about experience. There are three major words for knowledge in the Greek. The first word is called eido. Eido means to be aware. There are many believers that are aware of God because they go to church. There are many believers that are aware of God because they told them about God, either in their homes or in their families or their friends. But there are realms of the knowledge of God when you get into experience. And the next realm of knowledge is called epignosis. Epignosis is not awareness. Epignosis is actually intercourse. It's experience. And then when you migrate from epignosis, you come to ginosko. Ginosko is not just experience. Ginosko is an experience that produces results. So once upon a time, you may know a lady and you are friends. That's idol. So she tells you about her schooling. She tells you about where she went to. She tells you about what she likes. And you are talking on phone every day. A point comes when you migrate from there and you get married and you enter into epignosis. That knowledge is no longer cognitive. It's experiential.
And a point comes when that knowledge migrates into ginosko. And it's no longer just experiential. A child comes out of it. And the child that comes out of that union is a hybrid of the two of you. So that child is a testimony of the knowledge that exists between you. So when a man knows God in stillness, what happens to that man is that the products of his life will be a revelation of the God that he knows. So when that man speaks, situations are turned around. Not because he labored. It's just the knowledge producing results. Things can be going wrong. That man comes and said, it is well. The results of his testimony or his statement is a proof that he knows God. It is well for him. It's no longer English language trying to console you. It is well will calm the storm. So the disciples were in the boat and there was chaos everywhere. Master, carest not thou that we perish? And he woke up and he said, oh ye of little faith. And he said, peace be still. Peace be still is not to encourage you. Peace be still is actually a commandment to the wind. Go back. And the wind heard him. The wind heard him because he knows the Father and the Father knows him. So when you see the results of men, it's not a product of stories. It's an experience with God. This building is a testimony of knowledge. This building standing here is a testimony of knowledge. You can do the same thing the God servant does, but your results will be different. The quality of result a man has is a testimony of his depth of knowledge of God. So results actually are an affirmation of our knowledge of God. And our knowledge of God is a function of our stillness in God's presence. This is why prayer is a key to results. When a man wants to gain results, he must pray to a realm of stillness. So the dimension of the knowledge of God that provokes that result is imparted. And when that man comes out, himself becomes an embodiment of that result. Stillness is the third realm of prayer. And I say when you reach the realm of stillness, then you get into the realm of administration. It's in the realm of administration that God can deliver his burdens to your hand. There are many people who are preachers in Ghana. Very few are advancing the agenda of God. Because the secret of God is not with the preacher. The secret of God is not with the guy who went to Bible school. The secret of God is with them that fear him. He will show them his covenants. There are many people who have not come to the realm where the fear of the Lord is an administrative reality. There are many people who have not come to a point where God can commit kingdom to their hands. So they are doing so much, and the much they are doing can look beautiful, but God is not in it. When God commits kingdom to a man's hand, it means that man has graduated very far in the spirit. So these were the things we tried to establish yesterday. And tonight, I want to build a bit more on it. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. Break forth, O fountains of the deep, cry out, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. See these things I've shared. If you understand it, you will be a captain in this life. But the only way you can truly understand it is when you engage it. When you go home and in this month you want to learn how to tarry in God's presence, you will realize how rusty you are. And how rusty you are will be a proof why you say things and they don't happen. And somebody has said things. We don't get results because we are prophets and apostles. We get results because we are believers that engage the principles of the kingdom. You are first of all a believer before you are called into an office. And every believer is entitled to dominion. The problem is that we don't engage the provisions that are made available to us. This is where the crisis of the believer is. When you want to engage these things, these simple things I have shared, you will be amazed that for some of us, it will take us 6 months to begin to learn it. For some of us, it will take us 1 year to begin to learn it. I know how I labored to build stamina in God's presence. As a young and charismatic person, I was full of ideas. I would go to prayer and for 2 hours, my mind is wandering everywhere. And sometimes I off the light in my room for everywhere to be dark. And I cover my face on the pillow. I didn't know my mind is not restricted by the pillow. My mind is wandering on campus, wandering in the market. Everybody I met, everything, as if there is a trumpet in my ear. And sometimes I just wake up, I go to the parlor, I carry a book from the shelf, I put it on the other shelf. I just open the door to look at the sun. What is it, afternoon? Is it evening? I just want to distract myself. It took months of consistency to be able to stay in the place of prayer and to be there for 3 hours, to be there for a whole day. And the point came by practice. A point comes when I can be indoors for 7 days. And it's not an issue. And you master these things, even the things you are not concerned about, God will come to tell you. You'll be in your room, God is telling you about another family. This is what is happening there. Pray about it. What is my business with the family? You have become a divine administrator. You have done it. This is where men get rank in the realm of God. You are sleeping in your room around 1 a.m. and an angel of the Lord tap you. Say, wake up, pray. Why am I praying? Sometimes he doesn't even tell you. And after 3 days, he tells you somebody was about to be killed. So your prayer was to provide mobilization for angels to walk. So the salvation of that person was predicated upon your sensitivity in the spirit. That even when you are asleep, you are still sensitive. And God wakes you up, you pray till morning. Sometimes you won't even know why until you get to heaven. And God will tell you, I needed you to complete a quorum because I wanted to visit Afghanistan. And there were 12 men standing. I needed 14 men. So you made up the number. Out of these 14 men, they may be in 14 different nations. So God doesn't need the preachers in Ghana to create change in Ghana. By prayer, he can create a quorum from 15 nations of the world. And things will happen in Ghana, you'll not be aware. You see, Epaphras is one of you, a bond servant of Christ, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Church was booming in Colossae. Epaphras was not in Colossae. You have entered into divine administration. But it will take months. If you know what spiritual heritage is about, that's when you explore this dimension. Unfortunately, today, we are not taught about our world in the spirit realm. Imagine God wants to destroy Sodom. And God wanted to save Lot, but there was no means by which God will save Lot. God had to route his judgment through Abraham. And God will have to pass through Mamre to meet Abraham and get Abraham to speak on behalf of Lot. And if Abraham had not interceded, Lot would have perished. Imagine how important a man can be in the equation of God. Just take an inventory of scriptures and you will wonder the kind of world that we have that we have not tapped into. Imagine if today God wants to create a change in America and then he travels all the way to Ghana and wakes you up in your house and say, I want to create a revolution in America, but I need voices in heaven. Can you compare anybody's wealth in America to the wealth that man who sits in a room in Ghana has with God? But you see, when we are not taught spiritual wealth, we will not labor to make spiritual investment. The burdens of the Father. First is the power to create change in the visible realm. The burden in the heart of God is first of all to make men align with him to create the needed change on earth that he dreams of in heaven. So God, as powerful as he is, cannot do anything on earth without men. As sovereign as God is, he cannot do anything on earth without men. Not because he's weak, but that's how he designed the system. That every time God wants to create a change on earth, he needs partnership with men. Jesus came to this world, died, was molested, was killed like a criminal. He died, he hung on the cross, he was buried. That's the greatest humiliation that the universe can ever see. And Jesus resurrects to heaven. And that Jesus died and resurrected was not a guarantee that earth will be evangelized. Peter went back fishing and was trying to enjoy himself. And Jesus will come down from heaven and go to meet Peter in the river and say, come, lovest thou me more than this? What about the pain and the death? What about the power of the resurrection? It was useless if men refused to align. So the resurrected Christ had to come back to earth to go and look for a man who went fishing and was interceding and entreating the man to come back and carry out this assignment. I thought God was sovereign, but the way he designed the realm is such that men must partner with him. So in order to come to this point where the will of God as it is in heaven is done on earth, men must align with him. So the first burden in the heart of the Father is the burden of intimacy. If men don't come into intimacy with God, they will not take the responsibilities of God. They will live for themselves all their lives. And they will think they have done well. But the Bible said that is how the heathens live their life. He said, don't live like them. He said, you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He said, everything the Gentiles are seeking will be added to you. But a man who does not understand intimacy will pursue every other thing and forget about God. So the first body in the heart of the Father that men must pray is the prayer of intimacy, that I may know you and the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your suffering, that I may be made conformable, that if by all means I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended in Christ. That was the burden in the heart of God, and Paul found it. There were many things Paul could do. He was a trained lawyer. He was a tent maker. And he was doing this business. He didn't run away from it because he called it his trade. It was in the art of tent making that he met Aquila. So Paul didn't leave what he was doing. But alongside with every other relevant thing that Paul had to do, there was a heart cry that Paul had. And he knew that was what is in the heart of Abba. That I may know you. That I may know you. The cry of intimacy. Every man in this world, God is particularly interested in him. God is not interested in a few people. So long as there is breath on your nostril, God wants to know you as a lover. So deep that you can feel his breath on yourself. God wants to love you so intimately that he instituted marriage to reveal the kind of intimacy that he wants to have with man. So the intimacy that exists between a husband and wife is just a physical revelation of that which God desires in the spirit. That's why Paul said, marriage is a great mystery. He said, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So the level of intimacy that we experience with ourselves, much more, is what God desires. Because the heart himself is love in essence. But many are not aware that this is the heart cry of the Father. So they run around, spend their lives, and when they are done spending their lives, they come to God with so much exhaustion. Lord, I love you. And they sleep off. If you heard what the Holy Ghost would say, if you could hear him, your heart will be broken. I heard a story Ben Him told. He said he went to a crusade in India, and there were over 2 million people. If you're an evangelist and you see 2 million people, the anointing on your head will turn to fire. It may be oil dripping, but when you see 2 million people, the oil will turn to fire. They could not as much as drive him to the platform. So what they did, they had to land him on a chopper. And the moment Benihim landed on the chopper, the program was for him to sit down, be welcomed. They had some songs and presentations they wanted to make. But when Benihim saw the crowd, he couldn't sit down. He went straight to the altar and collected the microphone. The anointing was stirred by the crowd he saw. And the moment he collected the mic, the Holy Ghost tapped him behind. He thought it was the pastor. And he heard, I missed you today. I've not heard your voice today. So with the myriad of angels that talk to the Father every day, so the Father is waiting to hear my voice. This was the mystery, one of the greatest mysteries in Eden. The mystery of Eden is not the fact that the garden was downloaded from heaven. God could do that a million times. The mystery of Eden was not in the fact that God commanded light to come out of darkness. The mystery of Eden was not in the fact that God commanded every living creature to come out of the ground. The mystery of Eden was not even in the fact that God commanded the heavens to be separated from earth. The greatest mystery of Eden is the fact that the God that dwells in the light, unapproachable, whose ambience is full of thunder and lightning, could remove that garment of divinity, step out of that throne, and come to the garden every day to have fellowship with Adam. The angels could not understand it. Because the 20 and 4 elders had known these beings for aeons. Every time on the throne, if you study Ezekiel chapter 1, when Ezekiel saw God with the cherubims, the Bible said the throne of God was moving like lightning. And there was thunder on every side. Because God is clothed with lightning, thunder and thundering. The voice of God, the Bible said, is like many waters. No being can approach him. But this God can remove that garment. Put that garment on the hanger. Step out of his throne. The only time God stands from his throne is when he wants to judge among the gods. That's what they knew for aeons. But all of a sudden, this God creates a being that looks weaker than all the angelic beings. When you look among the angelic ranking, some angels, upon beholding them, you will faint. The Bible said an angel stood on the earth and his head pierced into the cloud. The Bible said concerning cherubims, when Daniel saw Gabriel appear in his glory, he fainted. The similitude and the ambience of the angelic being alone is terrible to behold. As powerful as these beings are, God left them, created a weak being, threw him in a garden somewhere, hid him in a garden, and every time God will sneak out of heaven and come to have intercourse with this being. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 8, he said, in the cool of the day, God, the voice of God, came walking in the garden. And the other time he came, he said, Adam, Adam, where are thou? Where? His name is called God. And what it means is self-sufficient one. He doesn't need anything to be God. How come this being that existed as a community in himself that needs nothing, how come all of a sudden he made himself to become so vulnerable that what makes him happy is his intercourse with man? It's a mystery that cannot be understood. So when man fell, God was restless. And he said, for God so loved the world. Love which world? You have heavens. Why didn't you love the heavens? Why didn't you love the angelic being? These angels serve you all their life. The Bible said concerning the four living creatures, it said day and night, forever and ever, they kept worshiping, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. These are beings that never fail. So I thought, what makes God happy is worship. How come you love so much? If it were on the platform of justice, is it not unfair that some beings stand before you day and night, forever and ever, and they are worshiping you, and you left those beings and you escaped from heaven? You are seeking the rebellious man that doesn't care about you. What manner of love is this? That's why in 1 John chapter 3 verse 1, they say, what manner of love has the Lord bestowed upon us that we should be called? He has never called an angel his son. What manner of love? That Abba can step out of his throne and look for Michael. Even when we went away in rebellion, he couldn't rest. He couldn't rest. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, only, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And I thought life was breath. No, life is not breath. He said, this is life eternal, that you may know him, that you may experience him, that you may interact with him, that you may mingle with him. So the whole idea was to restore fellowship. What is the burden in the heart of God? He wants to hear your voice every morning. It's not about what he can give. There are many women here. Imagine if your husband bought you a car every day, but you can't see him. The car will become a body. Imagine if your husband bought you jewelries every day, yet he's unfaithful. You will live in a mansion, but you'll be crying. Because you can't even tell where he is. He tells you he's going to East Legon. The next thing is in Kumasi in a hotel. The jewelry will become like a piece of trash. Because it's not about what you have to give. It's about yourself. Intimacy is what he's looking for. The burden in the heart of God is that he knows you by name. And he wants to hear your voice. He wants to mingle with you. He wants to commune with you in a way that no other man knows. The Bible said, they that overcome it, he shall give a name that no other man has. So the love of the Father with you or concerning you is a jealous love. Your brother doesn't know it. The kind of love and intimacy he wants to have with prophet is different a million times from the kind of intimacy he wants to have with me. So he will call him by a specific name. He will call me by a specific name. He will call you by a specific name. There are pet names that he has for every one of us. So he wants to, and it's an insatiable appetite of the Father. But many don't know. We think coming to God is to ask for things. In fact, God settled asking for things before he left. Don't tell me about the mountain. Take power to deal with the mountain. So when you have any need, command it, it will be done. He said, you shall decree a thing and it shall be established unto thee. He said, say unto this mountain, don't tell me, be thou removed, be thou cast away. And if you do not doubt in your heart, you will have whatsoever you say. So whatsoever you need, just command it. That's why he made you a king. But beyond that, every morning, he wants you to look for him. This is why certain men became so dear to God. The highest rank in Zion is not the rank of an apostle. It's not the rank of a prophet. No. Go and check the patriarchs. Some of them entered into. Those ones are not gifted. They are end. They are end. So in James chapter 2 verse 23, he said, even Abraham, your servant, whom you called your friend, a man walks with God until he becomes the friend of God. That's the journey of intimacy. He is more than a prophet. He is more than an apostle. He is the friend of God. In Isaiah 41 verse 8, he called him the friend 3 times in scriptures. Abraham was called the friend of God. That man is bigger than a prophet. He's bigger than an apostle. An apostle is a messenger. A prophet is a servant. But a friend is one that knows the heart of his father. And then there is a realm called the realm of sons. They are not gifts. They are journeys of intimacy. How do you become a son? Not by being born again. By beholding him daily. We all with open faces, beholding as in the glass, the image of the Lord, we are changed. So sonship is image. It's bearing the image of God. And bearing the image of God is not a function of his life. It's a function of beholding. So for you to become a son in this kingdom, you must behold him continually. That's stature in the spirit. And then another level in the spirit is the level of fatherhood. You see, I write unto you fathers because you have known him that is from the beginning. So a friend, a son, and a father is one that have embarked on the journey of intimacy. So they keep graduating. They keep graduating. A son knows this. A friend knows the secret of his friend. A son does not only know secret, he has inheritance in the kingdom. And then a father does not only have inheritance in the kingdom, he inherits God himself. These are realms that will be hallowed for eternity. And by prayer, this journey is possible. It's the journey of intimacy. This is what these guys knew, that David, a king, will dance until his clothes will be torn and he's not aware. That guy is pursuing something that is bigger than kingship. He's pursuing intimacy. He's pursuing something that no man can give. It's a place in the heart of God. I have a friend, his name is called Pastor Hassan. God took him to heaven and he entered the library in heaven. And the man was reading a book intently. And when he was thinking, who is this? The man corresponded his thought and said, I am Enoch. I am the friend of God. And he said, which book are you reading? and he opened the book and he said, it's called The Heart of the Father. It's not a book. They are studying the different dimensions of love that are in the heart of the Father. The Eros, the Storge, the Agape, all kinds of love. The love that has to do with erotic intimacy with God, that a man can abandon everything and is just weeping in God's presence. It's a dimension of love that is stronger than wine. That's the kind of love the Bible said is stronger than death. It's called Eros. It's a romantic, explosive kind of love. There are men that love God in that fashion. So when you talk about God, they will die there. He said, Paul and Barnabas, these be the men that hazarded their lives. It's a love that makes you unreasonable and insensitive. So when they get to heaven, the friends of God, what they do for eternity is to study the heart of God. They open this chamber and they see Eros. They open this chamber, they see Storge. They become God's family. They open this chamber, they see Philia. They become his friend. They open this chamber, they see Agape. They can die a million times for God. These are the kind of men, they are not here for ministry. Ministry is a body. He said, for me to die is Christ. The greatest gain Paul was looking for was to die. You don't learn that in the Bible school. It's a journey of intimacy. Where if God say leave ministry, you say, thank you, Father. You have done me a favor. And you can retire from ministry and stay on the altar, hidden without fame or popularity for the rest of your life. And you'll be so satisfied. Yahweh, Yahweh, hey, hey, I release the sound of the heavens, the sound of creation, Shekinah is here. I release the sound of the heavens, the sound of creation, Shekinah is here. We cry holy, holy, holy unto Yeshua, Shekinah is here. We cry holy, holy, holy unto Yeshua, Shekinah is here. Yahweh, Yahweh, hey, 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 hey. Yahweh, Yahweh, hey, 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 hey. I said, I told myself, I am sold out to God. Nothing moves me until I fell in love with my wife. That was when I saw the power of love. I had to go on a retreat quickly. The first 1 week, I will call this lady for 2 hours. What am I saying? I don't know. Oh, the power of love. This is what God desires. I'm in Ghana. I've called her 3 times today. Nothing you do can keep you busy. Even if you are in the office, her picture is in front of the table. This is not ministry. It's intimacy. Communion. Communion. Because that one can leave his throne and seek you. He can leave the glory and the excellencies of divinity to come into the garden in the cool of the day. Adam, where art thou? Where art thou? Meanwhile, the cherubims are there seeing lightning. They didn't know that he has removed the casing of lightning. It was his garment that is hanging on the throne. The king himself has sneaked out looking for his lover. That's why the psalmist, when he was writing, he said, kiss me with the kisses of thy mouth. Thy love is sweeter than wine. He said, draw us, we will come after you. We will not remember the testimonies of the wine. We will not tell the tales of the wine. We will forget about the wine. We have entered into the bedchamber of our beloved. Only the breath of God matters. And sometimes, when he says, I love you, you will remember it for 1,000 years. The sound of the heavens, The sound of creation, Shekinah is here. We cry holy, holy, holy unto Yeshua, Shekinah is here. Yahweh, Yahweh. Ministry, not God. We love power, not God. We love the honor and the glory that comes with ministry, not God. When you fall in love with God, nothing else matters. This is the body in the heart of God for eons. A friend of mine was carried to heaven. And the angel that was leading him, he passed through a room and people there were a handful. And he said, who are these? That was the most powerful council in heaven. He said, the angel told him, there are different councils in Zion. He said, there is a council of prophets. He said, there is a council of priests. There is a council of nations. There is the galactic council. But he said, one of the most powerful councils in heaven, the council of friends, and for aeons, the people there are not a handful. He saw Enoch, he saw Abraham. Who are these? He said, they are the friends of God. Every secret about heaven, that's where God opens it freely, because they have become friends. He shows them the codes of creation, the plans in the heart of God for aeons to come. He reveals it to them, because this one, they are his friends. Every pursuit apart from God is a waste. Every other thing should be an addition. If you knew the burden in the heart of God, you will know that staying with him for 1 hour is more than 1 month of preaching engagement. That's where you are vetted. That's where your work is approved. That's where the texture of your heart is tested and the quality of your ministry is defined. A king will not bother about rulership. He says, as the deer panted after thee. That's what inspires a king. A king that everybody is worshipping, the only thing that inspires him, as the deer panted after the water brooks, so my soul longeth after thee. In a dry and in a thirsty land where no water is. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of God. And I told the Lord, I don't love you. I try to act it, but the truth is that I really don't. Because sometimes for 1 week I've not prayed and I don't feel it. Help me. And God told me, it's a journey. It's a journey. Because the heart of man has become callous. He can no longer feel the tenderness with which it was created. Man was created to desire God as an obsession. That's why he put him in the Garden of Eden. God never built a house for man, because the house of man is the presence of God. He put him there to seek him every morning. And he said, it's a journey. And I said, I want this journey. And God told me the first way to grow in love is to build a routine. The weight of a spiritual man is the weight of his consecration. In Daniel chapter 6 verse 10, he said 3 times in a day, Daniel prayed facing Jerusalem as his custom was. That is a prime minister. But even in politics, he was a prophet. A prophet that never compromised. 3 times in a day, that was Daniel's custom. Because as you put your heart under routine, over time, your heart becomes accustomed to the presence of God. Because the presence of God has the power to re-engineer your molecular structure. That's why Moses was there, and a point came when he came out, his face began to glow. Jesus, the Bible said, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. The presence of God has the power to alter your structure. So he said, when you constantly expose your heart to the presence, your heart will begin to literally develop love for God. And he said, that's why the strength of a spiritual man is the routines that governs his consecration. The routine and the consecration of a spiritual man is as rigid as a rock. Nothing changes it. I heard John Wesley prays 3 hours every day before stepping out of his room. The Methodist Church is not a function of strategy. It was the offspring of intimacy. Many generals passed through there. The likes of John G. Lake. They were product of the Methodist Church. But it came out of 3 hours of intercourse every morning. A man is not strong until he has power to stand in the presence. Because in the realm of kings, power is not the ability to raise the dead. No one dies there. When you are sent to the throne of God, what do you call power? Nobody needs word of knowledge. Everybody knows as is known. When you come to the realms of the divine, nobody cares about the gift you have. They want to find out, how long can you tarry? He said the 24 elders, day and night, they fell from their throne. Holy is the Lord. He said the 4 beasts, day and night, forever and ever. That's power in the realm of God. The capacity to stand in God's presence. So when you want to find men who are truly strong on earth, find out what is their love quotient. I release the sound of the heavens. I came to cast bodies. We need to repent. Routines. Time itself is a body. In Psalm 119 verse 164, David said, 7 times in a day, I praise your name. Which king does that? Do you know how many visitors he has to receive? Do you know how many battles he had to strategize for? David alone fought 44 battles. When do you have time to worship God 7 times in a day? Because he knows the love quotient is resident upon routines. For Jesus, he said early in the morning, Mark 1:35, he went to a solitary place. There he prays. That was his life. If you don't have a routine in the place of prayer, if you say you love God, you are just talking. The affairs of life and the competitions of life will prove that you are a liar. Because 1,000 times you will choose other things before God. This is not willpower. I told you, it's not willpower. It's hunger and desire. It's built consciously. The second way to build love is to raise memorials. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 12, verse 7, Abraham raised an altar to the Lord that appeared to him. Genesis chapter 12, verse 8, when Abraham entered the promised land, he raised an altar to the Lord that appeared to him. Genesis 13, verse 18, when he came to Mamre, he raised an altar to the Lord that appeared to him. Men who are enculturated with love, everywhere they come to, the first thing they do, they raise a memorial to God. You will never see an Indian business that doesn't have the statue of Buddha, even if it's a kiosk. Because they know that raising memorials to a spirit is what creates continuous fraternity with that spirit. Only Christians fail to raise memorials. And I'm not saying go and build a wooden altar. I'm just talking about the place of precedence. You went on campus. What was the first thing you did? I have a friend, Venerable Moses Omeke. When they admitted him those days on campus, they put hobby. Students will put basketball. Some will put javelin. Some will put shot put. So one day, the security ganged up and said, this man is a nuisance. What kind of medical student is this? Every night, he won't let us sleep. Shabba, 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 shabba. So they ganged up with the chief security and they called him to threaten him that they will expel him from the school. When they called him, he now asked the chief security officer, when you admitted me, on the form I filled, you wrote hobby. Did you check what I wrote there? What do you mean by that? Because every other Christian that came wrote basketball, they wrote football, they wrote swimming and javelin. When they checked on Meke's form, what he wrote was prayer. So he has raised a memorial. There is no way that school can swallow him. Even the spirit, before he came, he already sentenced himself to prayer. So there is nothing you do on that school that will distract him. The reason we go into politics and politics swallow us up is because we didn't raise memorials. The reason we go into business and it swallows us up is because we didn't raise memorials. Before you come into a place, every spiritual man raises a memorial. The moment he steps into the promised land, he raised a memorial. And he told the security officer, if you can't expel the guy who plays basketball every day shouting, you cannot expel me for praying every day. This is my own hobby. We cry, holy, 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 unto Yeshua, Shekinah is here. Today, that young man is making exploits everywhere. When you find a man who loves God, the jealousy of God is invested on him. Whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. You want to find out the burden of God? Is intimacy. Till the world comes to an end, for all eternity, God will still desire intimacy. That's why the angels he created before you till today, they are worshiping him forever and ever. When your age comes to an end, it will not stop. Intimacy will continue. Believers are too rusty in our generation. We do every other thing apart from prayer. Because there is no relationship. What is the second body in the heart of God? Is to see every creature exercise dominion. God didn't create slaves. God didn't create weaklings. In Genesis 1:26, it says, let us make man in our own image and in our likeness. So every being God created, he created them in the class and in the order of God. So every being was created to live and to exercise dominion. The moment God's people are beginning to live in a state of helplessness, God loses his peace. He wants to restore the dignity and the integrity of man so that wherever man goes, man will be able not just to live as a god, but to be able to establish the dominion and the government of God. So, one thing amongst other things that prayer does for us is to empower us for dominion. When a man begins to pray, he becomes a ruler. It has never been contested. Everywhere men pray, they rule. The day men begins to live as helpless beings, check, prayer has been removed. This is why every time the world was colonized, the foundation of that reality was prayer. After the fall of man, in Genesis chapter 4, days of Enosh, men began to call on the name of the Lord. And instantly, the government of God came down. Noah found favor with God. And even when the whole world perished, Noah and his family were preserved. How? He raised altars. Abraham found favor with God. With thee, I will begin a great nation. Genesis 12, 6, 7. Genesis 13, 18. Abraham raised altars. Everywhere there is dominion, there is prayer. Now, God has sent us to different spheres, functioning at different stratas. What is the unifying ingredient that all of us has to be able to reflect the kingdom and the dominion of God? It's prayer. So it doesn't matter if you are in medicine, it doesn't matter if you are in law, it doesn't matter if you are in the academia, so long as you can pray. Prayer will unction you into realms of dominion. And there are five ingredients of dominion that prayer confers on a man. The first is blessings. When a man begins to pray, he gains access into the portals of blessings. The Bible said, "Behold how beautiful and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in harmony." The word used in harmony is the same word used in the upper room when they prayed into one accord. He said, it's like the dew upon Mount Hermon. It's like the oil dripping from the head of Aaron to his beard, down to his head. He said, there the Lord commanded his blessings. Now, when God commands his blessings, what happens? Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, have dominion. Blessings confer dominion. Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. God blessed Noah and his son. Be fruitful, multiply. If a man does not walk with the blessing, there can be no fruitfulness, multiplication, replenishing, and subduing in his life. And if these four things are not there, he can never prosper. This is what the elders of old knew. So no matter how well they train their children, they must confer blessings upon them. He said in Genesis 18:19, I know Abraham my servant. He will order his children in my ways. But when Abraham wanted to die, the ways of God, he taught his children, was not enough. And if you knew the level to which Abraham trained his children, you will marvel. Because even Abraham's servants were well trained. The Bible said when Lot was taken, Abraham took 318 servants, male servants, trained in his house, and he went and conquered five kings. That's the level of diligence Abraham applied in training his household. In Genesis, the Bible told us again that Abraham married another wife. Genesis 25. He said her name was Keturah, verse 1. In verse 4, he said Abraham gave gifts to the children of Keturah. And they are the children, the fathers of the Midianites. Many years later, when Moses met Reuel, who is of the Midianite, it was Reuel that taught Moses the ways of God. Because Abraham taught every member of his household the ways of God. But that was not enough. Before Isaac left, Abraham put a blessing on him. Because dominion is a function of blessings. So when we begin to pray, we begin to access the invincible ingredient that gives us an edge in our world. There may be 1,000 lawyers. What will distinguish you will not necessarily be your certificate. It is the blessing of God that is upon it. So when you pray, you create blessings. When you pray, you engender blessings. Your children will be well trained, but if they are not blessed, they will struggle. When Isaac wanted to depart, he trained his children well, but he imparted the blessing because they knew the blessings make the difference. And the way to step into the blessings and to live there is to continually pray. He said, "Dear, the Lord commanded his blessings." The reason many believers struggle, even after doing their best, is because the edge that they should have as kingdom agents, they don't have it. So a believer is walking like every other person. He will compete like every other person. But the people in darkness know better. Before they go for an interview, they go and get something to chew. So when they come to the interview, they may say nonsense, but they will pick them. Meanwhile, the believer negates the requirements of blessings. And then is assuming that he or she is intelligent. Do you have an idea how many intelligent people there are in Ghana? As far back as 1940-something, your first president was a master's degree holder. You can hardly find illiterates in Ghana. So who told you by the strength of intelligence alone, you will succeed? You need something more than intelligence. It's called the blessing. If your president in 1947, Kwame Nkrumah, was a master's degree holder, you should know that education alone can't distinguish you in Ghana. At least in my country, the first presidents were illiterate. So if I'm educated now in something, and I'm not saying this to insult my country, I'm just telling you the context where you found yourself. Imagine if you are in Harvard and then you think it's intelligence that will distinguish you. You are a joker. You need an edge. You come into ministry with English language. Some of the pastors in this country have done ministry in England. Minister to only white people for 10 years. Is it English language you think will impress them? You need to come with a blessing. I'm telling you why we struggle. Because we come with what too many people have. But very few have the blessing. If you come with what everybody have, you'll be like everybody. So when we pray, we are laboring to tap into the blessing. So that we'll walk in it. The second thing prayer does is that it confers favor. Favor is what makes men submit themselves to you. When you see a man commanding the allegiance of men, there is something upon his life beyond what he says. While others are trying to manipulate people to follow them, there is somebody else who doesn't even have time. Yet, people are flooding him. He said, daily, men added themselves to David until his host became like the host of God. You have a company, better pray. Else, many will come there to loot you. And with your CCTV cameras, you will not find them. Because they will loot with charm and all kinds of mischievous nature. The time you will discover they have raised enough money to build their own company. You need prayer to keep them under government and surveillance. A favor comes upon you. He said God gave favor to the Israelites and they spoiled the Egyptians. So when God wants his people to walk in dominion, what he makes available to them is favor. But men of prayer live under that canopy. When you refuse to pray, even though it's available, you will not have it. This is beyond praying prayer points. You come with 20 prayer points and distract yourself. Forget it. Just pray. When you pray into ascension, there is a rain of favor that comes upon your life. And you don't even know what to pray for again. A point comes when you come to the place of prayer, you don't know what to say. You are just there, you wept from night to morning. And when you are done weeping, you clean your eyes, you go to work. And as you are coming to work, favor all over the place. Because it's a fragrance, it has rubbed off on you. Start nothing until you are baptized with favor. Else you will meet rocks that will hit you backward. He said, even the rich among the people will entreat thy favor. So why somebody else have built a large cathedral? Nobody is coming to worship. Somebody else's problem is the challenge of overflow. What is the difference? It's not the exegesis. It's the economy of favor. Why somebody else has a first class looking for a job? Somebody else has a second class upper. He's turning down offers. The problem may be the right contact. The first-class student never meets the person to give him the right information. Meanwhile, somebody else, every contact he makes is relevant in his life. Favor orders his step. Life is too complex to use your small brain. Your brain is like your fist. It can't order your life. Those chemicals here is too small. It's not given to man that worketh to order his steps. You may have done everything you need to do. You just need one man to speak well of you. And where you are supposed to meet that man, there is no force of the spirit that will order your steps to meet him. And then you miss that man. It will take another 5 years for that cycle to open. But when there is favor, even when you don't want to wake up, the hand of God will lift you up and clothe you and drag you to the junction to meet that man. That was why he said to Mary, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed art thou among women. You are favored among women. There were many virgins. Why was she choosing? It's called favor. She wasn't choosing because she was a virgin. There were many virgins in Nazareth. But this virgin was highly favored. And because of favor, he said, you are blessed among women. So when we pray, it's never a waste of time. There is a rain we are downloading. And when that rain comes, you will discover favor is a currency that can be used in all nations of the world. Even presidents bow to favor. Even wizards bow to favor. Both good or bad, every kind of person on this in this planet bow to favor. When a man is favored, even his enemies will be at peace with him. It's a force that have no regard for those who love you or those who hate you. The ones who hate you will be compelled to help you, and they won't know why. They may have many cousins, many relatives that are begging them to help you, but when they met you, they will forget they have 1,000 relatives that have the same need. Because the force of favor will manipulate them into helping you. Some people will be done helping you, then they will say, why did I do it? They won't know why, but you know. I came with a garment. The name is called favor. The sound of the heavens, the sound of creation, Shekinah is here. We cry, holy, 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 unto Yeshua, Shekinah is here. Yahweh,
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 Yahweh.
When I wanted to do ministry, I looked at myself, who will help this boy? Where I come from, sir, nobody has an advantage. And I'm not exaggerating. My father is a Catholic. And sometimes they won't go to, they are tired. They say today they are tired, they won't go to church. And then God wants to raise an apostle to give him a voice across the globe. To make things worse, I went to study and they now said, most of the people making impact, they are fifth generation Christians. They said Daniel Kolenda is the fifth lineage, generation of pastors in his family. And when I check, even the one after me doesn't speak in tongues. Or the one before me. I knew I needed something beyond competence. I sought for favor everywhere I could find it. Through prayer, through seed sowing, all kinds of things I did. Nobody succeeds on this planet without favor. Ask those who succeed, they will tell you. They will tell you every cadre they rose to, there were people who were better than them. Every cadre. What took them forward was favor. Every cadre you get to, you will see somebody better than you. That's why I say the race is not to the swift, neither is the battle to the strong. Is to the Lord that showeth mercy. And the third ingredient of prayer is mercy. If you don't have mercy in your life, your mistakes will cripple you. Can I tell you, I've made a lot of mistakes that should send me out of ministry. I'm still preaching today because of mercy. I have made too many mistakes that should end my ministry. If you knew some of them, you will collect this microphone from me and say, get out. What heals me is the mercy of God. Because mercy prevails over judgment. Nobody will ever be competent enough to qualify for what God does with him. There must be an edge that is added to your competence to bring you to where you are. That edge is called mercy. If not, the justice system of God will swallow you up. If you find any man who tells you, he knows why everything around him is happening. He's a liar. There must be that edge that you can't explain. Because the justice system of God is his absolute standard. And he said, if God considers iniquity, no man will stand. So when a man begins to pray, there is something that happens to him. Because prayer is a testimony of brokenness and humility. And when a man goes down in prayer, he's telling the Lord, I know that without you, I'm nothing. And he begins to entreat the mercies of God. He said, if my people that are called by my name, 2 Chronicles 7:14, will humble themselves and pray, I will hear from heaven. I will have mercy upon them and I will come down. When a man doesn't pray, he's proud. He may not know it. He believes everything can work based on his capacity. You will never rule. There are many people in politics that want you dead, and they are already making attempts to kill you. Sometimes because of mercy, you are not even aware. They plotted to kill you, and you passed. They didn't recognize you. Because a verdict that is superior to judgment has been released. If you know how many people are hoping that you will be destroyed. Somebody said it's not the staff behind that kills. It's when you turn and you see who holds the knife. Some of the people you think are your confidants are the people trying to kill you by all means. I know this by experience. If I tell you how many things those who are my friends went to say about me in high authority, to higher authority, you will think friends, we should forget about friendship. Close associates that I never wronged in any way. Even pastors, where I serve, I've sown seed to every pastor. Regardless of who is senior or who is junior, I've sown seed to everybody. Sometimes they come for meetings. Somebody is with my watch. Somebody is with my tab. Somebody is with my shoe. Every time. But these same people, when they talk against you in the back, the lies and the treachery, you will know that if not for favor, you can't breathe the next day. They rubbish you, they manipulate, they lie, they exaggerate it. And sometimes, five people are lying against you at the same time. Which one will you start defending yourself? If you even attempt to defend yourself, what you said, they will still carry it and twist it. So the only voice you will have in the courts of judgment is the voice of favor, of mercy. God is helping you. And the devil plants competition in the heart of one. He plants envy in the heart of another. He plants jealousy in the heart of another. He plants things in over five people at the same time. And he's nurturing it. And after 2 years, all of those things he planted reach gestation period. And then all of them explode at the same time. And sometimes they explode when you make your only mistake. And then all of them, the one who was bitter, we come and say his own with bitterness. The one who was jealous, we come and say his own with jealousy. The one who was angry, we come and say his own with anger. The one who feels you offended, we come and say his own. And then 7 people, 10 people say the same kind of thing against you at the same time. Even the authority will be helpless. No matter how they love you. How come 7 people, 10 people, are you the only person? What will you say? If not for mercy, not one will stand. What you call your stronghold, if mercy is withdrawn, that your stronghold will destroy you. So when we pray, beyond Lord, handle this circumstance, we are entering into an investment of mercy. Because beyond what we can pray for, mercy can make available. Do you know your enemies? You think there are 3. Meanwhile, when you check and God opens your eye, there are 10,000. You will just stop there your prayer and say, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. You thought your enemy is your neighbor. You don't know they have deployed 3 principalities to bring you down. You will just say, God, have mercy. Mercy says no. The reason we are preaching today is because what? Mercy said no. If mercy didn't say no, some of us would have been destroyed. And the reason we will preach tomorrow is because of mercy. If not for mercy, I tell you, if I tell you how many people have seen visions that we had accidents and we died, if I tell you how many people, they will know we live. See, there is no funfair in life. Life itself is warfare. It's not written anywhere in scripture that life is funfair. That's why you need mercy. So when you tell a man to pray, you're actually giving him something beyond any gift. When we provoke burdens in your heart to pray, we are provoking something that is superior to any gift we can give to you. Because when you pray amidst other things, you are baptized with mercy. And everywhere judgment rises against you, mercy will bring a counter judgment. I know he's guilty, but mercy said no. I know he can't defend himself, But mercy said no. Most times, the places you are vying to get to, the person that has the power to open that door, they already corrupted his heart about you before you came. The reason that door will open will be because of mercy. And if that person opens that door, he will tell you, I don't know why I choose you.
Hey, 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 I release the sound of the heavens, the sound of creation, Shekinah is it. I release the sound of the heavens, the sound of creation, Shekinah is it. We cry holy, holy, holy unto Yeshua, Shekinah is it. We cry holy, holy, holy unto Yeshua, Shekinah is it. Yahweh, Yahweh.
Said 40 men bound themselves by an oath and said they will not eat or drink until Paul dies. What a purpose for existence. 40 bound themselves, they were not joking, by an oath, we will not eat or drink until Paul dies. May mercy speak for you. Everybody that say you won't succeed until they die, let them die. To subvert a man in his course, the Lord approved not. If they said they will die, let them die. Because over everyone here tonight, mercy says no. Mercy says no. Mercy says no. Pray in the Holy Ghost and provoke mercy. Your enemies will go down. They will go down. Because mercy says no. I release the sound of the heavens, the sound of creation, Shekinah is here. I release the sound of the heavens, the sound of Yeshua, Shekinah is here. We cry, holy, holy, holy unto Yeshua. Holy, holy, holy unto Yeshua, Shekinah is here. Sophisticated they are. Imagine 40 people. Some of them know the governor. Some of them know the mayor. But it doesn't matter. Mercy prevails over judgment. When we tell you to pray, you are entering into something that is superior to the help of man. Pray in the Holy Ghost.
and ask for mercy. Mercy says no. Your ministry must prosper. Your political ambition must prosper. Your business must prosper. Because mercy says no. Barakatova Kash. Sete Kavana. Sateke Zuzu Atadash. Dadalina Matera Katoshka. Barakash. Barakash.
Yahweh.
Consigned, die. There are people today going, suffering under judgments of wickedness by the verdicts of mercy. I stretch my hands over you by the verdict of mercy, and I command every evil judgment and every evil proclamation to be turned in the name of Jesus. He said, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream dreams. Then was our mouth full of laughter, and we said, it was the Lord. There are many sisters who are not married because of wickedness. There are many people, very intelligent and hardworking, they can't progress because of wickedness. Every evil verdict on your life, I stretch my hand over you, and I come to you by the trumpets of priesthood. I say, let those verdicts be torn in the name of Jesus. So you reign, you ancient Zion's King. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign, you ancient Zion's King. Kadosh, Kadosh, ah, Kadosh. Jesus, I want to pray for someone that there will be a radical impartation of the spirit of prayer. There will be a radical impartation. You will literally live in the presence. Meanwhile, there are some of you that that need to come and hold the horns of the altar and ask for mercy. Because you are suffering for things you don't know the cause. It's a product of wickedness. It's a verdict of wickedness. And it was earned tonight. The powers of evil, the powers of iniquity, I break them by this apostolic law. Paracados, Velezende the dark, Salianda Perez, Elone, Barak the Vash, Barak the Vash, Barak the Vash, Apilio, Nevai, the Pinna Suata.
You ancient Zion, Ados.
How can you be such an anointed singer yet nobody knows you? How can you be such an excellent teacher yet nobody knows you? How can you be so intelligent but you can't go anywhere in your political business or your economic pursuit? Wickedness. Mercy is available tonight. How can you be married for 10 years without a child? How can you be 40 years old and not be married? Wickedness. Vaco Cecilia. You reign, you reign, you reign. We change the verdicts in the spirit. We change the verdicts. We bring the legislations of God. We bring the legislation of the kingdom of God. We command movements and shifting, migrations in the spirit. It doesn't matter where they went to. All the mysteries that they concocted, we come by the provision of the blood, we come by the testimony of the cross, we come by the powers of resurrection and the authority of priesthood. And so we change legislations in the spirit. We alter legislations, we change judgments, we bring the verdicts of Yahweh, we bring the verdicts of Elohim, we bring the government of God, and we command blessings, we command speed, we command breakthroughs. We command shifting in the spirit. You reign, you reign, you reign.
You reign,
you reign, you reign.
You reign,
next you pray, know that you are journeying into blessing. Know that you are journeying into favor. Know that you are journeying into mercy. And right now I want to pray for an impartation of the spirit of prayer. Vara Kaso Sevesh Deliana Tavila Kadoshke Barak the Fade Sazane Barikana Sagadia Tadatina Shata. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Those who are still praying on the altar, they can continue praying. The rest of you, lift your hands towards heaven. If the devil attacks your prayer life, he has attacked everything you have. If the devil can destroy your prayer life, he has destroyed you utterly. No matter what happens to a man, if he can still pray, there is hope. He said there is hope for a tree. Even if it's cut down, at the scent of water, it will spring forth. Job lost everything, but not prayer. And as Job prayed, in Job 42 verse 10, he said the Lord blessed Job and gave him top. Right now, lift your hands toward heaven. Thank you, Father.
Just keep it calm. Only the keyboard. Yes, go ahead. Somebody will receive a hunger, an insatiable appetite for the presence of God. If I be a revivalist, if this grace rests upon me right now in the name of Jesus, from the left to the right, from the front to the back, to the galleries, let there be an impartation of spiritual hunger and fervency. Holy Ghost, purge them by that fire. Barak, hunger, Aliya. Coming on somebody. You are about to begin to war in the spirit. The scepter of authority is about to come upon someone. You are a warrior. You will not only pray, you will fight. Not for yourself, for your people, and for your nation. Right now, every warrior in the house, I provoke that order. Holy Ghost, touch them. Warriors, arise. I call you forth. Warriors of Ghana, come forth. Thank you, Father. We are out of time. Most of you, as you live here, you will have life-changing encounters. It said Moses came to Horeb, the mountain of God. His life was changed forever. Most of you will find Horeb. You will find Horeb. Encounters that will change your life forever. Thank you, Father. 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 Yes. Can we be calm for a moment? Just stay calm. Stay calm. If you're calm. Peace be still. Peace be still. Please, forget about me now. Focus on Jesus. Some of you are about to receive a token of authority. You will talk, it will happen. You will know it is by God. Listen, strange things will happen to some of you now. Somebody will start running. Another person will literally begin to eat himself. Somebody's legs will be set on fire. It's an impartation of authority. And so right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, touch! 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 Ushers, help them so they are not injured. Touch! Yeshua HaMashiach, Lion of Judah, Agoni Chimba. Yeshua HaMashiach, Lion of Judah. Oh,
Atmosphere, and you have heard this witness. Everywhere you are,
and every righteous thing you do is commanded to prosper. In the name of Jesus, captains of industries, rise. Government officials with power to influence government, rise. Apostles in media, rise. Ministers of the gospel with power and with reputation, arise. Voices that we blast from Ghana to the nations of the world, arise. In the name of Jesus. Somebody is being drunk in the Holy Ghost. Somebody is being drunk. You are about to receive a new wine. Somebody is being drunk in the Spirit. As you live here, prayer will become like your breath. Capacity to stand. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Help him. He's being drunk in the Holy Ghost. Hey, yeah. Hey, yeah.
The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. And the Lord give you peace. Listen, some of you are already being touched. Some of you are receiving healings. I didn't pray for the sick. But what this atmosphere came with, you will check yourself, discover lumps have left your body. You have been healed. Pains, arthritis, bone conditions have been healed. In the realm of the blessings. Check your bodies. If you have noticed a change, wave at me. Yes, I can see Papa. Papa, what happened to you? I've not prayed for the sick. You can generate this atmosphere. And anything is possible. When you were preaching, and I was listening, hunger and hunger.
Sometimes and spiritual things are hard to explain.
Hunger.
Somebody
hunger.
Somebody with pain at the back of your neck. Very excruciating pain. It has left you. Check your neck. You'll discover it's gone. Check. The pain is gone. I think it's from around here. Is there anybody like that? Check your neck. You'll discover so much has happened. Is there anybody like that? Pain, excruciating, neck region. Just wave. Let me see your hand. Yes. Surround this place. Many things are happening to people, but we don't have the time. Just lift your hands toward heaven and bless the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. Thank you.